into your attention. And so first of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, a consideration of the love expected for God in the Old Testament. So in chapter 5, look at verse 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Do you see those two words? What will come to your attention if you were here this morning is the similarity between what we have about the love for God the Father in the Old Testament and the love for Christ expected in the New Testament. So please notice, there is hate, and during the Old Testament, some hated God. And what about those in the Old Testament? Listen to this. Showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me. How important that verse is. God says, there are thousands of them that love me. Now, look in chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Again, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Consider that love of God. Do you remember? Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Well, when a thousand generations had passed, do you think the end will be here by then? If a generation is 40 years, that's 40,000 years. And so listen to it again. Verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. How precious. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. 10. Let's look at a reference in 10 because this is essential also. Chapter 10. Look at verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? That to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You say, why, that's almost like what we read in chapter 6. Yes, now chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his ordinances, and his commandments, always. Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give the rain of your land in its season, the former rain, and the latter rain, and so forth, and so forth. And you serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now let's read some references in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18. And notice the change. There's a little difference between your King James and this. And look how beautiful it is. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Not I will love thee, but I love thee, O Lord, my strength. We have exhortations in Deuteronomy to love the Lord. Now, in Psalm, listen to this. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. We'll put these things together in the will of God later. Now look at Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he heareth my voice and my supplication. Now here is another man who says, I love the Lord. Now, look at Psalm 145. 145, and look at verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. So we have three references to those that love the Lord. Now, this reference in Psalm 91, turn to Psalm 91, is most precious of all, and you'll see why in a moment. Psalm 91. Remember that this is the psalm that's found in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ about God giving his angels charge concerning Christ. Now, this is what the Father says concerning his Son. Look at verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Now this is what the Father says about the Son. Because he, the Lord Jesus, hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. We have others who say, I love the Lord, but here is God telling us that there is one that loved him, because the Lord Jesus has set his love upon me. Because the Son set his love upon the Father said, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How long? The Lord Jesus said, behold, I am alive forevermore. And so whatever earthly references this has to the earthly author of this psalm, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, entirely different. Now, we'll read other portions in the will of God presently, but let's speak to the Lord again in prayer now. Now, Father, we are thankful that thou hast made us. We are aware that among all things that are visible and tangible, only those that have life and consciousness and souls and hearts can be addressed the way that you address those of whom we've read in these Old Testament scriptures. And you've made it possible, Father, for your creatures to love you. We are sad, our Father, but while giving them so great freedom, you have allowed them, if they choose, to hate thee. And thou hast told us, Father, that all of your creatures do not love you. Some of them hate you. But we are glad that you've told us also that some of your creatures love you. And we desire, our Father, to distinguish between these two. It was so when thy Son was on earth in the days of his flesh. He was hated, and he was loved. He was despised, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But, Father, there were some that loved him, and that was the consolation. And we are thankful that we considered the love expected toward thy Son this morning. And we are thankful for the scriptures that we read about the love expected of thee in the Old Testament. So, our God, let us put these things together and see the great responsibility that lies upon us, thy creatures, who believe that there is a God, divesting ourselves and separating ourselves from those who say in their hearts, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. We are thankful that thou hast shown us that there is a God, and we know this by faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So our Father, thou art God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And our Father, we are so thankful that while telling us about your physical attributes, your scriptures tell us about your moral attributes, your mercy, your compassion, your love. And they tell us about the things that please you and displease you. So, Father, from the scriptures we've read and some of the others that we desire to consider, would you teach us, make this a worthwhile lesson, let it build us up on our most holy faith. Now we think of Virginia and all of those that have to do with J.D. Our God, let us know his soul's condition. We are not going to pray now, because thou hast told us about those who have made no decision in time. We are thankful that for so long a time he heard the gospel, the opportunity was there. So, our God, we thank you for that. And we pray, our God, that you shall comfort the hearts of those and give them hope that as he heard the truth that Christ loved him and gave himself for him, that he believed it, and he was saved. And so now we look to thee for the portion tonight. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and bless us together, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most of the time, if we are challenged to find portions about love in the Old Testament, we might remember that first one in Deuteronomy 6, but as for the other references, we would not be so sure about them. But I have just read you a few of the multitude of scriptures that talk about the love that is expected from those that are God's own to love him. God expects this. I was reading a verse in the New Testament that says this, speaking of some of the Jews, the physically chosen nation, it does not mean that as individuals they were saved, they're going to be blessed. We see that the judgment of God falls upon them when they are morally disobedient to God, when they hate him, that the nation of Israel heard the commandments of God, and they were taken up with some of the commandments of God. And this is what we find in Matthew 23 and Luke 11. Concerning the Jews, the Savior said, you tithe, you give 10% of mint, spearmint, and anise, and cumin. And so here are all the herbs in their garden. And if there are 10 sprigs of spearmint, they go and they snap off one sprig of spearmint. And anise, if you like licorice, that is anise. And they find anise, and they take a tenth of that. And the Lord Jesus said, you are so devoted in tithing mint and anise and cumin. And he said, you have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and the love of God. So what does it mean? It means that of all the commandments that God has given, the things that he tells them to do, what they were impressed with was giving God certain amounts of herbs that they grew in their garden. But if you spoke to them about justice, dealing faithfully with their fellow man, they left that undone. About loving God, that was of no importance. But concerning this insignificant part that is important to us. And let me tell you that the Lord Jesus saw through it all. And in like manner, if there are some of us who are so punctilious about the less weighty matters of the law, and let me bring this to your attention, that all of the Bible is God's Word, but there are some parts of it that are weightier than others. Which part is not the Word of God? There is no part that is not the Word of God. But not all parts are equally weighty. How do I know that? The Lord Jesus just told you so. You've left undone the weightier matters of the law. So, we have to read the law of God and see what is the most important. And of all things, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That is of the greatest importance. And the Lord Jesus was asked this question. Of all the commandments you find in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus was asked on no less than two occasions, Master, what is the first and great commandment? And without any hesitation, the Lord Jesus quoted to them the verse that I gave to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm so thankful for that. So often, I have a subjective evaluation of things that are important in the Bible. Now, here are the commandments of God. What is the most important? What I think may be right, and it may be wrong. But if the Savior is challenged, what is the first and great commandment? The Lord Jesus has scanned the Old Testament in its entirety, and without hesitation, he says, this is the first and great commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And he said, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you another. He said, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, let's put these things together. We were considering this morning about the love expected from Jesus' own for their master. Here is what the Savior said in Matthew chapter 10, and I want you to remember. He said, if any man love his father or mother or son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. You say, why? He is claiming equality with God. He is saying that he should be loved more than any person in the family. Yes, because he says in John chapter 5, the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Yes, because the Lord Jesus said, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he's given judgment that all men may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And the Lord Jesus says this concerning his Father, my Father loves you because you have loved me. So there's no jealousy. If you devotedly consecrate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father rejoices. Because the love for the Son is to be equal to the love for the Father. And this is what I was reading the Old Testament to you for, comparing it with the New Testament. Now, we've seen that God is to be loved with all our being, and our neighbor is to be loved as ourselves. Now, this is what the Savior said. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Notice, if you love me, here is loving Christ with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And he said this, this commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. So there is the love of Christ, the Son of God, and there is the love of man, the children of God. You see? What is the first and great commandment? Love the Lord thy God. What is the second commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Lord Jesus, what are the commandments in the New Testament? You are to love me more than father, mother, son, or daughter. And you are to love the children of God. You are to love the brethren. The same thing. The Old Testament, the New Testament. The love of God, the Father. The love of God, the Son. The love of the neighbor. And the love of the children of God. So there's no difference. The things that are expected in the Old Testament of God are expected in the New Testament of Christ. The only difference is this, that the Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and we see Him. I read that God is love. I look at Jesus Christ and I see that God is love. And it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So, I want to know about God. The Lord Jesus says, look at me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, I want you to understand this. That either the Lord Jesus is a blasphemer, or else He is altogether what He said He was. And the reason that I trusted in His Savior is that I honor the Son as I honor the Father. Why? Because he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. And that's the decision you have to make. Whether Jesus is the Son of God, whether in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God, or he is not the Son of God. And if he is not the Son of God, then he has no authority to say, love me more than your father or mother. Love me more than your son or daughter. He has no authority for that. But inasmuch as you say, but he is the Son of God, then he has that authority. And we are able to see now and direct our love, not as in the Old Testament, toward a God that was invisible, toward a God, the God that is manifested in the flesh. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to love me. All right. So there's no difference. In the Old Testament, they were to love God. And in the New Testament, we're to love God and His Son and the people of God and our neighbor as ourselves. Nothing has changed. It has become more intense for this reason. The Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Why, it's hard enough to love your neighbor. But the Lord Jesus said, in addition to that, you are to love your enemy. And you are to love God? Yes. Well, you are to love me to the same degree. But now think, I told you this morning that the love that is ideal, that is expected of us, is the love of the Lord Jesus. And His love was endless. His love was to the uttermost. His love was perfect. And that is what is expected of our love, to be like His love. Christ's love was that. We are to approach that love. We are to reach to arrive at that degree of love. I know no one who has ever arrived at it. Now, if the Lord Jesus has that kind of love, then the Father also demands that kind of love. We are to love the Lord. Why? I love the Lord because it says that He has heard my supplication because God has loved me. And in the New Testament, it says we love Him because He has first loved us. And so it is in the Old Testament. You see, the only difference is that now we have the Son in the New Testament explaining and expanding the truths that are contained in the Old Testament. And the demand is as great in the New and greater than in the old. And it's impossible to even begin to carry out that love unless we have first been loved by the Father. I think of an unregenerate sinner without a new nature trying to love, and it's impossible. But when the Spirit of God, and I told you this morning that in the book of Romans, it speaks of the love of the Spirit. The Spirit has many functions in the life of the believer. And one of the functions is this. It is to promote life, and it is to promote love. The Spirit of God works in the heart. Upon sinners, He convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. He points them to Christ. And in the heart of the believer, He enables us to love. Listen to this. It says, the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so we are enabled to love because the Spirit of God enables us to love. He enables us to live a life of dedication to God because it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. The law of the Spirit of life, what does that mean? The law of the Spirit that promotes life in Christ Jesus freed me from the law of sin and of death. And so the Spirit of God has these mighty functions within our heart to free us from sin and to enable us to love one another and to love God and to do His will. So, though we of ourselves are insufficient, Paul says, our sufficiency is of God, who made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. So this is what is expected in the Old Testament. It's expected then, and it hasn't been lessened. It has been increased in the New Testament. So how much love does God expect from you? The same amount of love that was found in His Son. Now notice, He loved to the end. He loved to the uttermost. He loved perfectly. Now listen concerning our love for the Father. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength. You say, well, if I love Him that much, that's with all my being. That is exactly what Christ demands in the New Testament, and it's what God demands in the Old Testament. We hold nothing back. Think of those words for a moment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Then, if it's with all my heart, then it's not partial, but it's complete. It is an undivided love. You shall love the Lord thy God. It says in the New Testament, no man can serve two masters, for else he will hold to the one and hate the other, or love the one and serve. Things like that. You can't serve two masters. And so God says, you are to love me with undivided love. Well, how much of me is to love you? All of you is to love God. Your heart, your soul, and your strength. Now, I want to explain something here that is so helpful. At times, one word can contain many words. And so at times, when that word is used by itself, we are to understand the other words that it contains. On different occasions, one word has a particular meaning to the exclusion of other words. Let me tell you about the word love. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love believes all things and hopes all things. Notice, there is a man who loves, and it says love not only does its own loving, love believes all things and hopes all things. If I speak of love then, I'm speaking of love
and of faith and of hope. You say yes because love believes all things and it hopes all things. So when I speak of love, it can include all of these things. But it says at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. So if I speak of love, if I want to expand it, I can tell you that love believes and love hopes. Or I can use love by itself. I mention that because in the New Testament, at times, there is an expansion of Deuteronomy chapter 6. There it speaks of three things. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your soul. And so we have the heart and the soul and the strength. But in the New Testament, it's expanded. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, yes, and all your soul, yes, and all your mind, yes, and in all your strength. The mind is added because in the heart and soul is included the mind, the thought. So we simply realize that what God said in the Old Testament is explained a little more fully in the New Testament. Then, if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, and I will explain it simply, if I love him with my heart, that is the seat of the affections. And if I love him with all my soul, the seat of the emotions. If I love him with all my mind, that is the seat of the intellect. And if I love him with all my strength, that is with all my material being. You say, well, if you love him that much, you love him with everything that is inside of you, and you love him with all the physical being that you have on the outside. Well, what is excluded? You say, why, there's nothing excluded. Then how much love does God expect from you? You say, all love. And what division is there of the love? You say, there's no division. Whatever ability I have to love God, it is with all my being that I am to love God, and that is what he's telling us in the Old Testament. And so for that reason, when I look at what devotion I have to the Father and see what he expects of me, I say, Lord, Lord. The Bible says, God's great love, Christ's great love, wherewith he loved us. Can I speak of my great love wherewith I have loved him? I think not. But I told you this morning that I can say with Peter, when he was asked, do you love me more than these? And Peter would never answer yes. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He would not say that his love was superior to all other loves, but he said, you know that I do love you. And in like manner, here is Christ's great love wherewith he has loved us. And what about a description of my love wherewith I love Christ? Well, it is small. I told you about Luke 7, do you remember? There is little love and there is much love. When he speaks of Christ's love, it's his great love wherewith he has loved us. How do I know that? Because the Savior said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You say, well, Jesus has laid down his life for me on the cross. Well, if there's no greater love than a man laying down his life for his friends, what greater love could Christ have? You say, no greater love. And that's the love that Christ has for you. And that is the love that God expects for you to have for him and his son. It says this, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And it says, because of Christ laying down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, if God expects you to make that sacrifice for me, then anything I come and ask of you as a brother that is reasonable based on the Word of God, you have no right to refuse me. Because it says, greater love, and Christ laid down his life, that's the greatest love, and it says, we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, if I'm to lay down my life for you, then evidently I'm to do something less for you. But, to put me to the test, I may do a little something for you once, but if you want a big thing to be done for you, I may hesitate, and then if you ask me for more and more, well, you will describe my love as the Lord Jesus described Simon the Pharisee's love. He says, your love is little love, but God expects all love. So whereas we are to try to love one another that much, enabled by the Spirit of God, the empowering of God, we are to love God with all our being. And on occasion, and it's very difficult for a man to speak these words with truth and with sincerity and with feeling. Just these words, I love the Lord. And the second instance I gave you in Psalm 116, I love thee, O Lord. Now think, how often is your heart constrained to lift your eyes to heaven and say, I love you, my Father. I love you, Lord Jesus. So often we would like to tell him that, but we know of the sin, the carnality, the failure in our lives, and something within us says, don't tell him you love him. Because he doesn't want to hear you speak those words in the spiritual condition that you're in. And that's true. And so for that reason, let us not say, well, I will put my hand upon my mouth and not speak of my love for him. That's not what we're to do. We're to rid our lives of sin and uncleanness and lack of dedication. And then we're to be able to say, with the psalmist in Psalm 116, I love thee, O Lord, my God. That we are not to say with Peter, because the Lord Jesus asked us, Simon, son of John, do you love me? To have it drawn out of us, and then to say, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And so I confess that at times, when you consider that the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places, the goodness of God, the salvation that is yours, when all of these things flood your soul, I confess it at times that I say, Lord, I love you. But when you do say those things, you make sure that you confess your sin and that there is nothing contaminating you, and there is no hypocrisy in your life. And yet, I've heard so many, and I wonder when they get up, and they go on about all of their great love for God in their prayers. And I wonder about those things. It may very well be true that they love God that much, that they're devoted to God that much. But I've wondered about it so often. But all of us should be able to stand up each Lord's Day and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Why? We love him because he first loved us. Why do I love you, Lord Jesus? Why, you bore my sins in your own body on the tree. Why do I love you, Father? Because you sent your Son to die for my sins on the cross. That is why I love you. And not only that, because you have given me help and strength and life, and you've illumined my life. You fill my heart with the truth of God. That is why I love you. And God delights in those things. This is what it says in the Song of Solomon. Those two that are in love, one says to the other, let me hear thy voice. And God asks for things. This is what it says in Psalm 27. when thou didst say, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. You see that? When God says, Seek my face, we respond. That, if God speaks to us, and he says, Tell me that you love me, let me hear your voice. And there was carnality, there was hypocrisy, there was unconfessed sin in your life. You say, Oh God, I
cannot tell you that I love you. And so let us keep our lives so that whenever we lift our eyes to heaven, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Let us say, Oh God, what a great God you are. And when we think of the Lord Jesus who loved us and died for us on the cross, when we think of the Father's love for us, when we think of the lines that have fallen unto us in pleasant places, our lot in life, let us constantly lift our eyes to heaven and say, Lord, I love you, because this is what God expects of us. So here we are. We're saved. And what does God expect of us? Just as much. To love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourselves. Let God not be disappointed. Let us pray. Now, Father, we confess that there was a great challenge that you placed before us. Oh, God, we would boast about any small affection we show toward thee, any small service that we render unto thee. We are ashamed when we are challenged with loving thee with all our being. Our God, let us remember this, and indeed, let us constantly feel guilty when we hold back from thee anything from thee. You told us, God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Father, you held back nothing. We pray that we shall consider this, and in turn shall hold back nothing from thee. This is an impossible thing, O God, unless the spirit of love works in our hearts. So, when you say, Seek my face, let us with David be able to say, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let us be those that, having been loved, love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.